Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, good evening. It's Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, live on a Sunday night. Coming up in just seconds, a real New York City detective will give his theories about the Carly Russell in Alabama disappearance. Plus, I suffered through a family reunion this weekend, a family reunion with, I think, people from Appalachia, and I want to hear about you and the Barbie movie. This is Sterling on Sunday with Dr. Dave and your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan, four arrested after a mass shooting at a strip club in the Bay Area. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
A man in Florida was bitten by a shark on land. That's right, a land shark. And I can probably guess your age by whether you're expecting a pop culture reference from the classic 70s sketch on Saturday Night Live about a land shark, or the crappy movie that was made about a year or so ago about a land shark. You're going to get neither. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That and more coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool shooting inside a Walmart in Florida. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, to bring you up to date on this ridiculous case in Alabama, Carly Russell says she was abducted at the side of an Alabama road on July 13th. Now she's safe. She came home last Sunday. The 25-year-old claims she was snatched and held captive for 2 days. She vanished July 13th after calling 911 to report there was a kid alone, all by itself, and then later resurfaced. Now, get this part. This is new news. More than $63,000 has been raised during a two-day search for the Alabama woman who claimed she was kidnapped last week, and the $63,000 will not be returned. Donors stumped up $63,000 in reward money when Carly Russell went missing for 2 days after she made a bizarre phone call to 911 reporting a toddler on the side of the road, and then she screamed. Crime Stoppers initially said the money would be returned to donors when Russell showed up at her parents' home on July 15th, claiming to have been abducted. Now the organization has backtracked on the promise because the investigation, get this, Detective Ferrari, the investigation is still ongoing. It has pulled down its notice and the $60,000 reward for information on the case. It comes after cops said they could not corroborate any of the woman's claims and did not find any evidence of a toddler having been by the side of I-495 when Russell claims to have seen the kid. This was at night. More than $63,000 for two days has been raised for the 25-year-old Alabama resident Carly Russell. It will not be returned. Well, this is some case. Detective Vic Ferrari, who is a regular on Sterling on Sunday, a guest star, as it was, who writes the most brilliant crime books and the most fascinating, funny books about his experiences in New York City. Detective, I thought, well, wait a minute, I know an actual detective. Maybe an actual detective could share his theories about what's going on there in Alabama with Carly Russell. Hello, Vic.
Hey, Walt, how are you?
Great.
Walter, I have two words for you. Balloon boy.
Balloon boy? What's that?
Balloon boy. Well, in 2009, a Colorado couple claimed their son was entrapped inside a weather balloon. For an hour, the nation watched a UFO-shaped object sail through the sky before it landed in the field. The hoax unraveled when the boy was found safe hiding in the family's attic. You see, Walter, it's all fun and games until the cops start asking questions. And this abduction story has more questions than answers.
Detective,
the woman claimed she stopped her... Yes, sir?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Detective. Share your thoughts.
No problem. The woman claimed she stopped her vehicle to attend to a toddler on the side of the road. Traffic cameras don't back that claim. Her cell phone and Apple Watch that would have tracked her movements were conveniently left in the car. yet she took a bag of snacks she had purchased from a Target store. When she returned, her parents claimed she was unresponsive and breathing, yet paramedics found her conscious and speaking. After her initial interview, Ms. Russell has yet to provide additional information to the police. But the police say Ms. Russell made several internet searches for bus tickets and kidnapping movies on the day she disappeared. I don't know, Walter. Like Balloon Boy, this story smells like helium.
Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective. That's what he does. He ferrets out the truth. Now, there's a new layer of evidence, Vic, that came out today that has the African-American woman community in Alabama doubting everything she said. You ready for this? She left her wig in the car. Now, apparently, it was a very expensive wig and glued on, hard to get off, would never be taken off in a car. And the women in the community are like, there's no way that she would leave her wig behind. Isn't that amazing, Vic?
You know, I know myself. I don't go anywhere without my wig. And I kind of support that claim.
She's been fired from her job at the spa. So whoever she was working with there at her spa doubts the story so much that they feel comfortable firing her. The biggest piece of the story about Carly Russell in Alabama that caught my attention. I'm like, I don't think that's true. She claims to be a nursing student, and she works at a spa, not a high-paying job, but, Vic Ferrari, she drives a Mercedes. She was driving a Mercedes, her Mercedes. $1,200 wig, Mercedes, leaves the wig in the Mercedes, and as you said, left her tracking devices in the Mercedes, screamed before she got off the phone. What do you think she was doing, Vic? What do you think she was doing? Pure theory. What do you think?
You know, social media nowadays, especially with young people, they get addicted to it. They want the clicks. They want the attention. They want verification and validation. It's quite possible that this was a hoax, like you said, to raise money or just fame and fortune.
It's hard to understand why a nursing student who works at a spa, what she imagined the fame and fortune would result in. I mean, this is not going to be a Lifetime movie, Vic.
No, I don't even think this would. Yeah, it wouldn't be on Lifetime either. There's something wrong with this case. And the story, I just don't think, is going to hold up. And I think if she thought she was going to get sympathy with Liz, and now you're saying different communities are coming out of the woodwork, you know, challenging her claim, I think it's backfired on her, if in fact this is a hoax.
I don't think the police have yet to interrogate her, have they? That's what I'm reading here. She's, you know, not in any condition to be questioned. No, I'm sure she's not.
Well, what probably happened was the day she turned up, the police and detectives went to the hospital. And a lot of times when you want to interview a witness at a hospital, a lot of times the doctors and nurses will get involved and say, well, can you give them a break? And they're coming in every 5 minutes. And a hospital bed isn't really the place to interview somebody. But I'm sure they got what they could. And she probably said, or the family said, yeah, tomorrow we'll make her available. And to date, that has yet to happen.
And Carly Russell, she worked at a spa. She's a nursing student. Being a nursing student is hard work. There was one theory that she may have had a lot of papers due. She may have had exams coming up last Monday. And maybe she was like trying to get out of all of that, some legitimate excuse for not doing her schoolwork. The other thing that I find interesting, Vic Ferrari, is that her boyfriend seems totally sympathetic and supportive of her. Oh, you have to leave her alone. She can't be questioned right now. Almost like a co-conspirator.
You know, that's possible. I know that I read a report in the New York Post, if it's accurate, that said initially he scrubbed his internet accounts of her. But now all of a sudden he's now in her corner. So that is interesting.
Not as interesting as you believing everything you read in the New York Post, as do I. That's my go-to paper, but we seem to be very alone sometimes. Vic Ferrari, please share with us exactly the name of your latest book so that we can go to Amazon and buy it. What's the name of the book?
The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Vic Ferrari has a really nice store on Amazon. You set that up well. I don't know who did that for you, but if you did it, it looks great, represents your work well, and I'm always flattered and privileged. Two things about you. One, your reports are usually really funny. If they're not really serious, they're usually really funny. And the other thing is you always submit your material on time, Vic, and that's a very big deal to this talk show host. So thank you, sir. Thank you. Are you in Florida tonight?
I am. I'm in sunny Florida as we speak.
Please share with us a weather report in Florida.
Humid, about 85 degrees with a light breeze coming off the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, I lived in Fort Lauderdale for a year, and what I found about Florida is what most people don't suspect, which is that even in July, it is usually 85, but it's never 90. It's a very interesting thing. Is that what you found?
Yeah, especially with the closer you live to the water, absolutely.
Right. All right, detective, retired detective Vic Ferrari, great friend of the show, terrific author. Get his book. Those were his theories and reactions to the mysterious Carly Russell disappearance. I believe a week from now, no one will have any interest in it, and oh, gee, it'll turn out to have been a hoax. Thank you very much, Vic. All right, coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about the top-of-mind issue, the Barbie movie. Did you go to the Barbie movie? I have not done it yet. I would like to hear your review if you have gone to the Barbie movie. I think everybody wants to hear about the Barbie movie. Good evening. It's 18 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
All right, this was the weekend that the Barbie movie came out and the Oppenheimer movie came out, but I have no interest in seeing the Oppenheimer movie. A lot of very depressed Germans. Who needs that? I want to see the Barbie movie. Now, have you seen it? I'd like to hear a review. Have you seen it?
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. Anything they plan, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool.
You can find me under the lights, diamonds under my eyes.
This is the best day ever.
It is the best day ever. So is yesterday, and so is tomorrow, and every day from now until forever. Yes! You guys ever think about dying?
When my heart breaks.
Some things have been happening that might be related.
When my world shakes.
Cold shower.
Ooh.
Falling off my roof.
Ah!
And my heels are on the ground.
Black feet!
What do I have to do?
You have to go
to the real world. You can go back to your regular life, or you can know the truth about the universe. The choice is now yours. The first one, the high heel. You have to want to know, okay? Do it again.
Closer, I am fine. Closer, I am fine.
I'm coming with you.
All right, now the Barbie movie has grossed more than anybody thought it would. They knew it would do well, but it outperformed. It's $165 million. It's more than you make. $165 million this weekend. My 20-year-old was very upset about the fact that at work, everybody got a free pass, a media pass. We get these media passes because we're brats. Media pass to see the Barbie movie. And then she came to work the next day and found out that they had all seen the Barbie movie earlier this week, but she didn't. And my first thought was, well, you know. And my second thought was, why don't we all go as a family? Did you see the Barbie movie? I want your review. You ready? Here's my number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, because it's one of those movies where I thought it could go either way. Except that, you know, it stars that insanely beautiful woman, Amber Heard. No, not Amber Heard. Just kidding. Now, everybody who calls in tonight will get a chance to win a MyPillow 2.0. All you have to do is know these three songs. There you go.
Tell 'em I'll be there.
right. Those are the three songs. If you can identify those three songs, you will win a MyPillow 2.0, because I know you're very curious about this. I know you'd like to know about the MyPillow 2.0, which is really quite something. However, what I need to know is, should I go to the Barbie movie? Will my 20-year-old like it? But more importantly, did you like it? How did you feel about it? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And I'm going to push this button now and actually see what I'm doing. Ah, yes. There we go. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. When you were at the lake this weekend, at the shore, at the Jersey Shore, at the beach in California, did one of your kids say, come on, we're going to go see the Barbie movie. Could we see it? Remember, for all the hoopla about the Oppenheimer movie, the fact is that the Barbie movie grossed double. It was $165 million. $165 million. The premise seems strange. Like, it was a really surreal, psycho, LSD kind of movie. Everything was very pink. Okay, I get that part. But apparently she went from being a doll to being a human being, which is sort of like going from being a mermaid to being a human being, which is something we've seen too many times. We saw it in that Australian sitcom, O2, where there were three mermaids that turned into human beings, and that never went well. And then that Daryl Hannah movie, the last movie that she actually was in, Splash, she went from being a mermaid to being a human being. Now, here's Barbie going from being a doll into being a human being. Is that what it was? And then I kept reading these things that it was like anti-Christian, and then the people in India were very upset about the kissing scenes. For a dumb idea, for a cartoon, it's a cartoon movie. It's like a female Marvel movie. It seems to have gotten a lot of reaction. Did you see the Barbie movie? I'd love to hear your reaction. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Everybody who calls in will have an opportunity to guess these three songs. And if you get them right, you win a MyPillow 2.0. Yeah, a MyPillow 2.0. It's not a bad deal. It's a good... It's actually an amazing pillow. These three songs. The first one, that little instrumental, you don't know it, but I promise you, your kids know it. There's your clue. In your case, maybe your great-great-grandchildren, hard to say, but that's the opportunity. I'd like to know your impression, your reactions to the Barbie movie. If you saw it, love to hear from you. 888-688-WALT. Now, the best thing about the movie is a man, 63 years old, was attacked in a Florida movie theater after asking a couple to move from his VIP seat. They just went to town on me, as he reveals his injuries and cops appeal for help to find the suspects. Get this, this guy was beaten up at an AMC Pompano Beach theater. It left the 63-year-old disabled and hospitalized because he didn't want to give up his seat. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
All right, good evening. Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, I'm going to share information, an amazing story with you about the most powerful woman in radio and television who you have never heard of. I need to know, if you saw the Barbie movie, what'd you think of the Barbie movie? How do you feel about the Barbie movie? My number's 888-688-WALT, and you'll have a chance to win a MyPillow 2.0. All of this and you in just seconds. Dr. Dave with the weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Four arrested after a mass shooting at a strip club in the Bay Area. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
A man in Florida was bitten by a shark on land. That's right, a land shark. And I can probably guess your age by whether you're expecting a pop culture reference from the classic 70s sketch on Saturday Night Live about a land shark, or the crappy movie that was made about a year or so ago about a land shark. You're going to get neither. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That and more coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool shooting inside a Walmart in Florida. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. For our first Florida Story,
this is an interesting one. What we have here is a shark attack. Now, that doesn't sound too amazing, right? Well, this is starting to get weird, because I've been reporting on a lot of shark bites, and this is, I think, the third time in the last few months that I've reported on a shark bite specifically in the Florida Keys. Now, you know, this show is so ridiculous, you probably think this happens every day, but shark bites kind of are relatively rare. The difference about this story, the reason it's making Florida stories, not just because it's a shark bite and, you know, a human being came across the ocean's perfect killing machine, the guy got bit on land. And that kind of blows my mind. I don't think I've ever reported that before. Even as strange as Florida Stories has been over the last, 5 years of reporting here. So I don't know specifically how the shark got on the dock. That is not mentioned in the story. But a guy was fishing off a pier, and there was a shark that was on the dock that bit his leg. Okay, so this is not what any of us pictured at all. But you go through some of these other shark stories, and there begins to be a picture painted, because when you look at some of the other shark bites in the Florida Keys in this same area, they've been pretty weird here. You know, we actually have had plenty of shark bites that are in the water, but I found where the last two that I reported on the show were from dudes that were spearfishing. Do you know what spearfishing is? Okay, so you're imagining, okay, you walk out into a river or maybe into the ocean or, you know, off a beach somewhere with a spear, and you try and stab a fish like in Blue Lagoon or something. But in this one, there's an added level of Florida difficulty because they are spearfishing about 70 feet underwater. So these guys are in scuba gear, and they're going down into these schools of fish and trying to stab them at 70 feet deep. And so there's a weird thing that happens once you are moderately successful in spearfishing, is that, you know, you hit a couple fish here and there, and all of a sudden the water is just chummed up with blood, and here comes the sharks. Now, something I would like to point out, as you can't see me, you're gonna have to take my word for it, but as an American who is 1/4 Hispanic and 3/4 white, I'm gonna have to play my 1/4 Hispanic card here and look at the white side of me and be like, this is a phenomenon that is only happening with white Americans. There is not any other race of people that, for just funsies, are putting on scuba gear and going underwater and spearfishing, not for fun. Not for food, but just for fun. Like, this is your recreation? Fine. You almost deserve to get bit by a shark. So, white people, there's a little internal soul searching we need to do, because I'm tired of us hurting ourselves in such weird, extreme X Games type Florida circumstances. It's really embarrassing. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right. Good evening, Walter Sterling. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Did you see the Barbie movie? Have you seen the Barbie movie? How did you feel about it? What was your reaction to it? Because, no, I didn't get to see it. I want to see it. But worse, my 20-year-old daughter is in a job as an intern where she's not paid, and everybody got passes to the Barbie movie except her. Now she has a deep resentment, something that I've taught her about. I really don't understand it. Noah in Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. Hello, Noah.
Hi there. How you doing?
Noah, every Noah I've ever known is handsome. Are you handsome?
I think that's a subjective opinion, but I think I'm a decent-looking person, I suppose.
Now, did you see the Barbie movie? Did you go to it for fashion tips, or why did you go?
I just went because a couple of friends of mine wanted to go. I just saw it for the first time, and I enjoyed myself overall. I think it was, I think there were a few, like, awkward points, but overall, I think the message of the movie was fine. I think Margot Robbie did an amazing job playing Barbie overall. And I think that, you know, the struggle of the existential crisis and the human experience was very evident in the film. And I think that was really something that I took away from it and enjoyed. So I think the movie was decent, and I enjoyed myself, yeah.
Well, what were some of the controversial parts?
I don't think there was anything too controversial. I mean, I think it was pretty cut and dry because it was a movie about dolls, and but also about the human experience. So I guess if you think the human experience is controversial, then that might be considered controversial. But other than that, I really don't think there was that much controversy, in my perspective at least.
You said that Margot Robbie did a good job of playing Barbie. Of course, no, we have nothing to compare it to. No one else has played Barbie before. So who knows? All right, you got a chance to win a MyPillow 2.0 if you can identify these songs, Noah.
Okay, let's do it.
Where is it? You know, it's a nightmare doing what I do. Hold on a second. Let me do this. Well, that is fun. Why won't it come up? Wow, listen to that. All right. Now what I'm going to do is I will send this file to Sean, and the next time I play the game, he will play it. I'll try it one more time. That's so weird. Why is my life difficult? In the old days, we used to have tape cartridges. Tape cartridges looked like 8-track tapes. They weren't, but that's what it looked like. And you put them in, and you pushed a button, and boom, it worked. Now, with digital, half the time the digital never works. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate your call, Noah. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That is so weird. I wonder why that's not playing. Now I'll have to study this for months. Now, about the nursing student who disappeared on her own and then reappeared. Ricky in Vegas says she didn't graduate from nursing school. I said she was in nursing school, but he says that she flunked out. So many conflicting reports. He says she flunked out already. It looked to me like she was studying, that she was still in nursing school. I didn't say she graduated because she clearly hadn't graduated. All right, coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to have an amazingly strange interview. Unlike anything you've ever heard. Plus, Dave Scott's going to have an update on the UFO hearings. Finally, there are real hearings coming up. And then, the most bizarre story about cutting lawns. This is a very special morning radio show at night. I'm Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get shales, negotiating on the wire.
All right, good evening. 50 minutes past the hour. Sterling on Sunday, welcome. Very excited to be with you. And welcome to Midnight Misfits, Bernadine Scott, Shelley Merle, Ken Brandenburg, Catherine Michael. The Phillies won today. Everybody's very excited about that. The Phillies won against Cleveland. 888-688-WALT. Did you see the Barbie movie? If you did and you call in, I will let you guess what these songs are. If you get it right, you'll win the brand new MyPillow 2.0. This is not some shill for MyPillow. This is like a really cool prize. And coming up, you will hear the strangest interview ever broadcast on American radio. No, really, the strangest interview ever. So this weekend, I had to deal with a family reunion. Now, my family never had a reunion because it would have violated the RICO Act. But a family reunion with all of my in-laws.
One really interesting study came out of Family Relations. It was published in Family Relations. I mean, this to me was fascinating. They said the first year of marriage is so critical, the bonding that actually happens. So how close the man feels with his mother-in-law, if they're close, there is a 20% less chance they will get divorced.
Okay.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is it's exactly the opposite for the woman. So if the daughter-in-law is really close with her mother-in-law that first year, they have a 20% more chance of getting divorced.
When you get married, if you're not married, let me give you the most important piece of information. Two pieces of information, gentlemen. One, whatever she wants for the wedding, that's what you do. You have no opinion on the wedding. Your opinion is, yes, that's a good idea. Yes, great. I'll make that happen. I will make that happen. And then keep saying, what else can I do to help you? Keep saying, what else can I do to help you? And when you say that, she knows that you're on board. But if you say, listen, instead of red, do you think we should do blue? Don't ever say that. There are no changes for a man at a wedding. You will suffer the rest of your life if you do. Number two, you're marrying her family. Even if you haven't met most of them or all of them, you're marrying her family. That's the good news. That means your bride has a family, has a relationship with your family. You want a woman or a man who has a healthy relationship with her family. And the real clue, trust me on this, the real clue on your first date, gentlemen, look at the woman and say, tell me about your dad. If she smiles and starts telling vaguely amusing stories about her father, even though they're incredibly boring, that's good news. You want a woman who has a great relationship with her father because that sets the tone for her relationship with men, and that's you. What you do not want is a woman when you say, hey, tell me about your dad. Could you tell me something about your dad? If she says, I don't want to talk about my father, run like hell. Go to the men's room. Don't return to the table. Let her pay the check. You do not want to get involved with a woman who says, I don't want to talk about my dad. Very important. This is the best dating advice I could give you. Well, now I'm married. I'm married to a woman who, in fact, loves her father. And all I care about is he's a terrific grandfather to my three daughters. Could not ask for a better grandfather. Very happy about that. And an accomplished man. He's an author and a lawyer of note. He was a litigator, never lost a jury trial, never lost a jury trial in 30 years, the most successful litigator in his state. Doesn't remember any of it. But other than that, well, the mom, at least once a year, insists on having a family reunion. And her family comes from, as best I can tell, Appalachia. Whenever I'm with them, their hair's never brushed. They wear really awful clothes. Most of them have strange tattoos. And this is the ego part. This is my problem. Never once has any of them ever looked at me and said, so how's your show? What do you do? How do you put together that show? Where can I hear the show? None of them have ever heard the show, which is why I can talk like this. I feel perfectly safe that even though I'm on KDKA in Pittsburgh, where too many of them live, there's like a hive of these in-laws in Pittsburgh. So on the air check, we'll cut out the word so and the cough. Everybody will think it's very professional because, you know, I'll never be Mark Simone. I will try to be Mark Simone, but I'll never be that classy, and I'll never, like, skip over the mistakes the way Mark Simone does, or Alan First, or who are my other heroes, Bill White. I'll never fix it. There I am. And finally, after years of me at some point breaking and saying stupid things to these people, my wife finally got it. About 2 years ago, she said, you don't have to stay for the whole thing. It'll be okay if at some point you either take a break or you leave. It's fine because these are 48 or 72 hour affairs. 1 year, we went to this horrible camp in a state park. I mean, this was just horrible.
and all the cabins were like ugly and dated. It wasn't dirty, but it was just, what am I supposed to do here in a cabin? I'm Walter Sterling. I was built for room service. You know what the greatest sound to me is? It's not a bear in the woods. It's not a hummingbird going by. It's not some stream, you know, where there's trout fishing. No, that's not the most beautiful sound to me. The most beautiful sound in the world to me is getting into a hotel at 1:45 in the morning. And the hotel has room service 24 hours a day, which is what hotels are supposed to have, 24-hour-a-day room service, or else it's a hobby. It's an Airbnb if they don't have 24-hour room service. Ridiculous. I get into the room. I call down. I order room service. And I wait. And the sweetest sound in the world is the sound of the room service cart squeaking, coming down the hall to me. That is the greatest sound in the world. This doesn't happen at Cook Forest. This doesn't happen in cabins in the woods. I was not built for this. Now I'm surrounded by all of these people. I'm an introvert. I'm surrounded by all of these people who are talking about things that happened before I met my wife in their childhood. Oh, gee, I haven't seen you in 20 years. The guy comes in, you know, he hasn't been seen in 20 years. There's strange tattoos. Tattoos scare me on anybody for any reason. There he is, and they're all wearing like, you know, my wife's always worried that I might not be dressed well enough. No, none of these people were dressed at all. These people put on what was ever in the bottom drawer, and they put it on, and now they think they're dressed. Family reunions, bad idea. Coming up in just seconds, I've got all sorts of fun for you. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Have you suffered by being a house guest, spending time in someone else's home? What are the secret rules? Do you replace the toilet paper or not? More Florida stories and the strangest interview you've ever heard in seconds. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Four arrested after a mass shooting at a strip club in the Bay Area. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night. This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Vilo Hula shooting inside a Walmart in Florida. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. Very excited to be with you. Tonight, we're dedicating the entire show to Mark Simone. The entire show and to Harry Hurley. Hurley in the morning on WPG Talk Radio in Atlantic City. One of my fantasies in life, I grew up in North Jersey. One of my fantasies in life was to do,
where is that?
To do a summer job in Atlantic City, on the radio in Atlantic City. There was a radio station there, WMID, owned by Merv Griffin. And I thought, what a great thing it would be to have a summer job doing overnights at WMID in Atlantic City. To me, that was the ultimate job, to be able to work overnights on the radio station in Atlantic City, and then during the day to go to the beach in Atlantic City. That would have been the ideal summer. I applied to a number of radio stations for summer jobs as a child. I got none of those jobs, none of the ones I really wanted, either because I didn't have a license at the time you needed one, or because, you know, I wasn't really that good. No, I wasn't really that good. It's all right. I put my resentments aside, but congratulations to Harry Hurley, who has the job that I want, and Mark Simone, who has the other job that I want. He's on from 10 to noon, a two-hour-a-day show. Can you imagine that? 2 hours a day. That's it. The amount of preparation he has to do is nothing. Which station is he on? I'll reveal that to you later. It's not important right now. However, coming up in seconds, we're going to hear about this amazing technology. These things fascinate me. This amazing technology that has to deal with gas. You know, gas. Then this guy works at Honeywell, you know, a very serious grown-up company. I ask him the key question, which is, I understand that the brand new computerized water meters that everybody seems to mystically and magically got onto the side of their house, the mystery is, can they listen to the house? There is a perpetual myth or fact that your new water meter can hear if you're home, can listen to you. I ask him that question coming up, and then later tonight, the strangest interview you've ever heard in your life. But this is the time of year when you and I are house guests. This is my opinion of being a house guest. I don't want to be a house guest. I'm not comfortable sleeping in your home. I'm not comfortable on a vacation or a long weekend not walking around in my underwear. To me, a vacation is walking around in my underwear whenever I want, going to the refrigerator whenever I want, and watching whatever I want on TV, which is usually Nazis and UFOs. That's how I prefer to deal with my summer. I prefer to go to a room where I can set the temperature to 55 degrees, pull down all the shades, and watch History Channel specials on Nazi UFOs, or go to Netflix and watch teen dramas. The Summer I Became Pretty, High School, those are the ones I understand. The British ones, not only don't I understand them, but every British detective story looks exactly the same. And they're always in incredibly small seaside British English towns. A seaside town anywhere in Great Britain, seems to have the highest crime rate in the world. It's unbelievable. A town of 600 people and seagulls, always seagulls. That seems to have the highest crime rate in the world. But to be a house guest, there are all of these invisible rules. And the etiquette experts say that when you go to the bathroom as a guest and the toilet paper runs out, it is my obligation, it is my duty, get it? It is my duty to replace the toilet paper. That's my job. No, I don't think that's my job. Then the other thing I strongly believe is that whatever is in the refrigerator of that home, I can eat. If I'm a guest in your home and I open the refrigerator, everything is fair game. I can be able to eat anything. The good news is I discovered the most amazing yogurt in the world while sneaking it as a guest in someone's home, which was a good trade-off because for some reason the central air didn't work. It was July and the central air didn't work, so I took all the yogurt I wanted. I'll tell you what it was. It was Trader Joe's brand yogurt in little tiny cups. It was the most delicious yogurt I've ever had. That changed my life. That's the only yogurt I've had ever since. No, it's not a plug. No, no one's paying me. Tragically, no one's paying me. But the rules in someone else's house are always strange. Like, if you stay in, and I always try to use my own rules when I stay in your house. For example, if you have a washer and dryer, I assume I can use the washer and dryer. Well, it turns out that's not true. I used somebody's washer and dryer a couple times, and then they came and said, listen, you know, it's a lot of electricity and a lot of water. Would you mind if we put your clothes in with ours? Yeah, I would mind. Why? I don't know, but I'd mind. And I was tempted to leave like a $10 bill. I was debating, would that be too tacky if I left a $10 bill? Well, the other rules are, do you take off your shoes or not? Because if you come to my home, you can leave on your shoes. I don't care. I don't think there's any mysterious illnesses that are going to come in on your shoes. Shoes, you can leave them on. Oh, and the last thing is, if I'm in a room at your home with a window air conditioner, I am going to turn it on. If it's February, I'm going to turn it on because I need the white noise because my brain is so big and so full of buzzy ideas. I need the white noise to fall asleep. But more importantly, I need a cold room. Even Dr. Oz says that I should go to sleep in a cold room, that my core temperature, he says, should be below a certain point. And that is achieved with what? Air conditioning. When you stay at someone else's home, what are your pet peeves? What are the challenges you have when you're a guest in someone else's house? Those are my challenges. I will turn on your air conditioner. I will do the wash myself. I don't want to be in your wash. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know what those stains are. I don't know what that's going on. That's very scary to me. I will leave my shoes on, and I will not replace the toilet paper. I don't know where your toilet paper is. Don't care. I'm not going to replace the toilet paper. What else? What are the other big ones? And I'm not going to load your dishwasher, and I'm not going to run your dishwasher. I'm there for a rest. If you have a specific rule, you can mention it to me, and, you know, I'll debate it. Your challenge is when you're staying in someone else's home. Or if somebody stayed in your home and they did horrible things, that's even better. If somebody stayed in your home and turned out to be a good friend but a horrible guest, we need to hear about this on Sterling on Sunday. Here's my phone number. Ready? Ready? 888-688-WALT. 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 Everybody who calls in tonight will get a chance to win a MyPillow 2.0, the brand new MyPillow. You just have to know the mystery songs. All right, there you go. Know those three mystery songs and you win a MyPillow 2.0. Very exciting. All right, welcome Midnight Misfits. Hello, hello, hello. Jim Gardisi, Frankie Reds, Jim Cully. What did I say? Cully? No. Jim Kelly, Eric Ferguson, Bill White, Joe Roman, and Ben White. Welcome. You are the Midnight Misfits. If you'd like to be a Midnight Misfit, all you have to do is register and get your Midnight Misfit membership card. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, click on the Midnight Misfit tab, and you download it instantly, and there will be secret information on how you can decode my message, which I will give to you in code at about 12:14 tonight, because we plan out this show. We believe strongly in serving the master of the PPM. Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling, 17 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023, and if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
Good evening. Isn't this exciting to have a live radio show on a Sunday night? This is like a morning show at midnight.
Sterling on Sunday, for Misfits Unnecessary.
This is unplanned, unrehearsed, and completely unnecessary. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. My Midnight Misfits. Hello, Bill White, Joe Roman, Ben White, Jane Hottenton, and Charlie Greer and his son in North Jersey. Charlie, how's everything going? Is it all right? Is that kid still in school? John Harper, Phil Lurker, welcome, and the famous Beryl Kravitz. All of you are my Midnight Misfits. You can become a Misfit, too. Go to Walter Sterling Show and click the Midnight Misfit tab. I just posted a spectacular photo of what? Of myself! On Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook name is Walter Sterling, and my Twitter handle is Walter M. Sterling. And I urge you to follow me, sign up, or whatever you do on both of them, because you will see my summer outfit. My summer outfit, which defines the season, actually defines the season, and I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Fish, Jimmy Fish, the CEO of Fishback Media. Thank you for your terrific voiceover work, and thank you for clearing Sterling on Sunday. Dr. Macklin. Dr. Macklin has quickly grown into one of our very favorite guests, because, and you need to understand who Dr. Macklin is. He's Dr. Christopher Macklin. He has a PhD, and he's a reverend, a medical intuitive, a paranormal conduit, a spiritual teacher, a health and wellness practitioner. Dr. Christopher Macklin is highly respected as a medical intuitive. He's achieved optimal spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health. His work addresses a wide range of mind, body, spirit imbalances, because I'm very imbalanced, and he gets you to overall wellness. Dr. Macklin shares his insights in this field of spirituality, health, and wellness. But more importantly, his topics include 5G and the effects on the public, UFOs, the Galactic Federation, and raising your immune system all in one. Dr. Macklin, it's your stage. What would you like to discuss tonight?
Hi, Walter. Well, thanks for having me back on. Bless your heart. Whatever you want. I mean, we were looking at maybe entity attachment.
Yeah. What are entities? What do I do about them?
Well, the deal is this, you know, if you go back to Christian teachings like Jesus, and, you know, I'm not a Christian, I believe in God, and I love Jesus' teachings, but if you look at what he talked about demonic attachments. So what does that actually mean? Well, there's a various suite of beings who want to manipulate you. So, and if you look at depression, if you look at many different problems like that, mental health issues, a lot of them are caused by attachment. So what does that mean? Well, if you get a bad time in your life, for example, I mean, I went bankrupt in 2007. It wasn't an easy time. But, you know, people have things in their life, divorce, or they lose a house, or they're short of money, or stress. What happens is, because you ingest a lot of emotion, and that builds up around the heart. People always say stress affects the heart. Well, of course it does. And so, because of that, your vibration drops. And because your vibration drops, it comes to a level where these negative beings can attach to you. And there's various forms. There's Anunnaki. They sit in the lower abdomen, hang on the shoulders, tap in the lower back, send you negative thoughts. You know, like if you do anything in the day, you know, they'll say, oh, you're useless, you're pathetic. You get all these thoughts coming through. Why am I thinking these things? There's also draconians. They're even darker. There's archons, which are energetic beings. The other two were, you know, in a different dimension. They're actually beings. With archons, they're not. They're just energetic beings. And then you've got Luciferians, which is these things are very snarly. And I think it's the Luciferians are the beings that Jesus talked about when people are possessed, because their body contorts and they're speaking through their voice box in a snarly, raspy voice and things like this. So we see these every day and basically remove them from people. And, you know, the difference is incredible. And, you know, you may think, ah, do I believe in this? Well, Jesus was teaching it. Hey, you know, I'm going to cast out the demons. But, you know, we've taken it one step further by understanding what these beings are. And because, of course, of the state of the world, everyone's having a really hard time right now. And the entities are riled up. There's a lot more of them than there are of us. And so, and they hunt in packs.
They hunt in packs. Now, Dr. Christopher Macklin, how do you remove an entity? I believe I agree with you. I believe that evil forces can attach to me if I'm in a weakened state. How do you remove them? Is it with tweezers?
Yeah, it's God tweezers. What I actually do, and this is a very important point, which I want to point out, if I may, is that if you go to a church and you say, okay, in the name of the Lord, I command that being leaves, it'll leave. The problem is you've just upset it, so it's all snarly and fed up, and so it's going to attach in the church to somebody else. And one of the things you have to do is deliver them elsewhere where, you know, the God realm can take care of them. So what I actually do is create a portal around them. This may feel strange, but put a portal around somebody and then get the beings I work with on people, which is angelic beings. They do psychic surgery and all this. They escort them out the body, and then we send them back to God with unconditional love and forgiveness. Now, there's one teaching about me is I never judge anything or anybody. People have got their journeys. And we know there's a lot of satanic things going on in the world right now. But, you know, from my perspective, I never judge anything. Let God take care of it, because then, you know, you don't create any karma, and God really will take care of things. I've seen it many times in my life.
You create a portal around somebody for these evil demons to go away. Is this like the space portal that we've seen in movies or on Star Trek? What does it look like?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's an interdimensional portal. I work with Melchizedek beings. Melchizedek, if you look at the Bible, is in the Old Testament. They're beings that are of the light, and they basically help police the planets, what's going on the planet. And so if things get really south, we're here to kind of help. Now, there's one thing about this world is it's a third dimensional world, and there's free will. and even prime creator, the God who created this third dimensional world, cannot interfere. So to get over that, they brought down what they call starseed people, who actually were, this goes one step further, but they were implanted in a womb, like my mother was implanted with my DNA as a Melchizedek being. So you could put souls down here, and it's the same with Palladians, Arcturians, Lemurians.
Wow.
Dr.
Christopher Macklin is a great guest. And you know what I'm going to do, Dr. Macklin? I'm going to tell your brilliant associate, Donna Schumann, that you need to be on again next week. Will you do that, Dr. Macklin?
Absolutely.
All right. I'd love to. Great. Terrific. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Dr. Christopher Macklin, who will explain to us about space portals. And I believe there's such a thing as evil, pure evil. And Dr. Macklin seems to have some ways around it. And I've also had a white light experience, which I have never shared with you, but I will. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
The worst experience I ever had as being a guest in somebody's home is they would not let me turn on the air conditioner when it was 90 degrees outside because they were afraid if two air conditioners were on, a fuse would blow. No, really. All right, let's you and I talk about bad experiences as a house guest. And if you've had house guests who were disasters, I'd like to know about that too. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, the legendary Randy West with an update on the after strike. All of this in You and Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Four arrested after a mass shooting at a strip club in the Bay Area. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
A man in Florida was bitten by a shark on land. That's right, a land shark. And I can probably guess your age by whether you're expecting a pop culture reference from the classic 70s sketch on Saturday Night Live about a land shark or the crappy movie that was made about a year or so ago about a land shark. You're going to get neither. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That and more coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool shooting inside a Walmart in Florida. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Isn't it exciting to be on the radio live? Here's Randy West. Now, Randy West is a very big deal. He's a big deal because he was an announcer for The Price is Right, which is at the top of the announcer food chain. You get to be an announcer even if you did it once. He did it many times. But even if you only did it once, you're at the top of the food chain. You're right up there with Randy Thomas, which is amazing. And he was the announcer for Supermarket Sweep. I will confess to you that although I have often tuned in to Supermarket Sweep, I always seem to get there when they're already running through the aisles and picking up 10 turkeys, and I have no understanding of how the game works. It always seemed like a really cool idea, getting free food in a supermarket, but I never understood how the game works. But, of course, I'm limited in many ways. Randy West is with you and I tonight because he's going to share with us information about the after strike and the Writers Guild strike and how this could affect our ability to sit on the sofa for hundreds of hours and do nothing. Hello, Randy West.
Good evening, my friend Walter. How are you?
How's it going? Have you actually been on a picket line?
I have been on a picket line 8 out of the last 10 days. And I'll tell you, the first day was phenomenal. It was like Woodstock without the bands. I mean, it was just this love fest of people, all with the same shirt. You know, they give us shirts and signs, and we're walking up and down. It was wall-to-wall people, friends you hadn't seen in a long time. And it was magnificent to see that energy. And all I could think of is 3-4 days from now, what will this wind it down to? It's a novelty now. But you know what? As recently as Friday, we only pick it on Monday through Friday because that's when the executives try to come to their offices. Most of them don't even bother to go near the lots. But as recently as Friday, and it will be again tomorrow morning, wall-to-wall people. There are 160,000 members of this union. Most of them work at one time or another under this theatrical contract that is the one and the only one that's in dispute right now. But everyone else is coming out to be supportive of that. And it's not just the rank and file folks. We had Jane Fonda a couple of days ago, along with some of her friends, you know, the name talent, even though this doesn't really affect them. Matt Damon walked off of the press for the film Oppenheimer on Thursday night at the premiere in London because it was nine a.m. or whatever the midnight time was that the strike started. He just walked up and went away. So the idea is the bottom line, where this 160,000 members are only a few at a time working on any given day. 95% of that membership is out of work on a given day, unemployed. And a great number of these members don't make a living wage. 87% of the members of SAG and AFTRA do not make the earnings ratio, what can I say, threshold for medical benefits. 87% don't make the medical benefits that we work so hard to gain because you have to earn $26,000 a year. Now, I'm in an elite position because I'm in the top 13%, and I've got a pension, and I've been working for 40-plus years, but I'm on that picket line for the guys who are trying to either live a dream, want to do what they want to do with their lives and maybe never make a lot of money, or those who are trying to build a career. It doesn't much matter. We're all one and the same, from Jane Fonda all the way down to the folks who are just doing an occasional commercial. There is tremendous unification, there's unity, and there's respect among us and the writers. We walk the same picket lines at all the studios, Warner Brothers, Fox, start naming them all. There, you know, Netflix and Amazon, we're all over these places honking the horns of, as people come by, they're driving by and honking because this is a industry town. It's not just the actors and the writers who are out. When we're out on strike and production ends, my God, caterers are in trouble, dry cleaners are in trouble, photographers are in trouble. This is an industry town. If we were in West Virginia, everybody's related, you know, to the mining or whatever. This town runs on the industry. And most people don't understand two points. First of all, the writers and the actors that you know of by name are the million-dollar earners. They're less than 2% of the membership of the union. As I said, 87% aren't making $26,000 a year. They're doing it for the love of the art. The other thing that people don't understand is that this is just one part of what SAG-AFTRA does. We are announcers. We are disc jockeys. We are newscasters. We are news anchors. We are actors. We are puppeteers. We are voiceover people. It's a massive conglomeration of talented people.
Have the newscasters, the anchor people who are in AFTRA on local TV in Los Angeles, have they struck?
No, they're not on strike. We're only striking the theatrical contract. We have dozens of contracts. Only the theatrical, which is the major motion pictures and the television sitcoms and television dramas.
All right. Randy West, give us math. If somebody is a lead or second lead in a network sitcom, what's approximately what would they be making per episode? And then what would they be making in residuals now before a renegotiated contract?
Great point. If you're a name star, you could be making $25,000 or even $50,000 a week. Now, this is the top 2%. However, most of the people in that cast are making far less than that. And the numbers in residuals, generally you get 90% for the first rerun, and then it continues to go down as reruns continue to play one after another. But most of the people that are working on this theatrical contract are not the stars. You know, a movie has 2, 3, 4 name stars, and from there it goes down very quickly. Watch any motion picture you could think of. There are 25, 50, 75 people, perhaps, with a line or two, a speaking part, and then another, I don't know how many dozen, background actors, people who are in a restaurant scene. You don't hear them speak. They're just sort of there. You know, they're in any one of a particular, any number of crowd scenes. These people are making $150 a day, maybe $200 a day. That's it, folks. 98% are just working stiffs. working stiffs. And if you're making, I don't know, maybe $500 a day, let's be generous for some of these people. The first rerun on broadcast used to be 90%. But for shows now that are on streaming channels, we're not given the numbers of viewers. Broadcast ratings, you can read them in the newspaper every day, such and such got the top rating for the night, whatever. But the streaming channels, which is where the new viewers are going to, we're not allowed to see those numbers. They're proprietary information. If you have Netflix, we don't know, but Netflix knows how many episodes you watched. Well, when you tuned out, what you thought of the show, you know, you watched the whole season and all that stuff. We don't know those numbers, and that's why it's difficult for us to reach a formula that's equitable for reruns.
Randy West is in Los Angeles. The most important question about actors and actresses on a picket line is, is there craft services, Randy? Is there craft services for these lines?
I'll tell you where the craft services, which is short for food, basically, in the industry. And you know where the craft services are coming from? Actors, name people who have made their money, you know, famous folks, if you will, name lead performers. They send the food to us, the rank and file people for the most part who are walking the line. In-N-Out Burger sends a truck. A taco company sends a truck. Coffee comes from Starbucks, big vats of coffee. This is being generated not from the studio, certainly, and it's not union money that's going to that. It's people who are supporting us. And caterers who are out of work now as far as providing food for set, they're sending free food. Because we're all partners of this. And here's the most significant partnership. The motion picture studios were run by movie moguls. You know, Jack Warner, names that we all know who started in this industry 100 years ago. They ran the studios, and they were partners with all their employees because they understood that if the wheel isn't cranking, you know, if the machine stops, they have no motion pictures to put in the theaters, and that's the end of the industry. It's the end of the popcorn sales and everything else. We were all partners 100 years ago, 50 years ago. Now that the companies that own the studios are international mega conglomerates, they're not in the movie industry. They're not in the entertainment business. They're in the business.
Right.
They don't know one movie from another, and all they want to know is can they make the next quarter profit and loss statement look better? How is the stock price doing? That's all they're concerned about. And without the partnership of everybody working together, not just SAG and AFTRA and the writers, but all the Teamsters and all the other unions, we all have to work together to turn the crank on this machine so everybody can make money. Last point, Walter, this industry has been generating a profit for 100 years. Entertainment is a profit-making business. And you know what? There's enough to go around, especially when the head of Warner Brothers made $500 million in the last 5 years. That's half a billion dollars for one man. And yet they're screaming about nickels and dimes.
Randy West, that's not your last point. Your last point is to please share with us the name of your new book and where you can buy it.
Backstage stories from all of the years that I and the friends have been in the business is called TV Inside Out. TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies. It's a magnificent collection of stories. You always wanted to understand what goes on in the business. Here they are, really laid out there in truth, uncensored, unedited. TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, Felonies. Go to TVRandyWest.com.
If you want to have a good time on Facebook, be sure to sign up to follow Randy West. He puts up the most fascinating photos of Hollywood and vaccine stuff and all the cool things that I have no idea where you get those pictures. Randy West, thank you for being on Sterling. Thank you. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, good evening, my Midnight Misfits. Welcome, Ken Forbes, John Kelly, D. Wells, Beryl Kravitz, welcome, Mike Garay, Mark Cavallo, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, and Nat Tester. Welcome, and not welcome, my Midnight Misfits. You want to hear your name on the radio? Then become a Midnight Misfit. Here's what you do. You go to Walter Sterling Show, Walter Sterling Show, and click the Midnight Misfit button. Coming up in seconds, here we go. Dr. Dave Iser with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Four arrested after a mass shooting at a strip club in the Bay Area. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
A man in Florida was bitten by a shark on land. That's right, a land shark. And I can probably guess your age by whether you're expecting a pop culture reference from the classic 70s sketch on Saturday Night Live about a land shark, or the crappy movie that was made about a year or so ago about a land shark. You're going to get neither. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That and more coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool shooting inside a Walmart in Florida. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
UFOlogist Dave Scott. Welcome, Dave Scott. Do you have an update on the congressional hearings that have finally been going on about UFOs? Finally, congressional hearings. Hey, Dave Scott.
Hi, Walter. It's good to be back with you. Yes, on the July 26th, we are going to see new congressional hearings on UFOs like we saw. And we have now the names of the speakers who are going to be there. From the 2004 USS Nimitz incident where we got the Tic Tac video, Commander David Fravor, who was part of the F-A-18 attack squadron that went and checked them out, he will be speaking, along with former U.S. Air Force fighter pilot Ryan Graves, who never saw the UFOs, but on radar he saw cube-like objects that he and his squadron could not explain. They are going to be talking about both fighter pilots and commercial airline pilots who have had encounters with UFOs. The third one will be a gentleman you and I have talked about the last couple of weeks, is David Grush, who was part of the UAP task force before retiring about a year and a half ago, who said that we have both pilots and aircraft from another world in our possession for the United States.
In your opinion, how long have we been visited by extraterrestrials? Do you really believe the Akhenazi were responsible for our very existence? Do you believe that?
I do not believe that, no. But I do believe that we have been visited for millennia. I mean, if you go back into Egyptian times, there is hieroglyphics of what looks to be helicopters, what looks to be UFOs, what looks to be extraterrestrials that have been carved into rocks. If you go to South America, where the Nazca lines are, there was a reason why they drew all of these characters for the gods of the skies to see them, one which includes, today we would call it a gray alien extraterrestrial. So I do believe that people have had sightings, Walter, right through millennia, but it hasn't been since about Roswell where we've actually had the opportunity to study this further.
I've seen those hieroglyphics with the helicopter and the strange drawings about what that look like light bulbs and other power, and the fact that in the pyramids there is no sign that any flame, any candle, any torch was ever in there as they did their construction. It must have been some other way. But the thing that always puzzles me about it, what's that? Have you been eaten? Are you being eaten?
What are you doing? I got somebody on a Harley Davidson who decided to crank it on up as he was passing me. So I'm not very happy about that.
No. It sounded like the smoke monster on Lost. But I've always thought if it was extraterrestrials, if they were being guided by forces from the sky, that there would be more pictures of it, that there'd be more representation, and there wouldn't be conflicting pictures in Egypt, which shows people, shows Egyptian workers pulling things on ramps and pulling things with rope, hundreds of them at a time.
I agree with you.
So that's a little confusing. I would think there'd be more. The other thing about the Egyptians, everybody forgets something very important about the culture of Egypt at the time, which is that they had unlimited manpower working for free. they had pharaohs saying, okay, stop whatever you're doing. You're just going to build the pyramids. Thousands and thousands of people who believed that that was a god had to do what they said. You want food for your kids. You're going to work on the pyramid. And I think everybody forgets the access to labor. Where my puzzle's always been, and I'd be interested in you, Dave, what my puzzle's always been is how the hell, I don't care how many people are around, how the heck do they lift 4-ton blocks into perfect position at the top of the pyramid? That's the puzzle to me, Dave.
That's the puzzle to me, too. Do I believe that aliens helped build the pyramids? Absolutely not. Were they maybe visiting? There's a good possibility of that. You know, me personally, Walter, I tend to think that it was when we came into the nuclear age when this really seemed to set off a lot of noise into space, and maybe these craft were flying around and said, hey, what's going on that blue and green planet? And let's go check it on out. That's where I think the real story for UFOs started. But, I mean, there has been reports throughout millennia, you know, through the 1500s, where there was recordings of what they looked like ships, like sailing ships, flying through the sky. I mean, it's weird how throughout history people have seen things that are adapted to them, you know. But then again, somebody in the 1500s isn't going to know what a flying disc looks like. They're not going to understand it, you know. So I think it was the nuclear age that really brought the UFOs in. And, you know, we don't know. Maybe it's right. Coming out in one of these congressional hearings soon.
Well, I agree with you that we don't know. And the fact that we set off an atomic bomb is the sort of thing that might catch attention from other people in our galaxy. And then I have one final thought, Dave Scott, ufologist.
Sure.
One final thought, which is this. What if, for whatever reason, that culture that's able to go through a time portal or able to fly on a flying saucer to get here or beat the speed of light, what if their culture never had any necessity for any weapons, never even thought of it, never even occurred to it? I've always thought, won't that be fascinating? Maybe that's why they've been attracted to us. What the heck are we doing exploding an atom bomb? Might be completely alien to their thinking as aliens.
Well, I would answer it like this. We are the world's or the universe's greatest reality television show. And I'm sure that they're coming down for a premiere visit like we would pull into a drive-in movie to watch the mishaps of what's going on in the screen. They're getting it in real time, and that's where I think this is all going. I mean, how could they not enjoy what we're doing? We got everything.
Yes, we have everything, and soft serve ice cream, which I'm darn sure doesn't exist anyplace else. Dave Scott, how do we get in touch with you?
SpacedOutRadio.com, Walter, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're the best. Thank you. Good luck with the Harleys going by your house. 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter Sterling. I was screwed by PNC Bank. PNC Bank screwed me. I get a letter from them yesterday saying we're shutting down all of your bank accounts, of which I had three. We're shutting them all down. Why? Oh, it fails to mention that. Doesn't mention that. If somebody doesn't do business with you, the next thing they say is, this is why I'm not doing business with you. But no, not a bank, not an arrogant bank, you know, run by people with MBAs. They feel no need to explain themselves. However, I remember in 2008, before the crisis of 2008, these things were happening from many banks. Many regional banks were shutting down, yanking their credit cards. I had a friend who had a home equity line of credit to refurbish and renew and rehab their kitchen, a home equity line of credit, their own money to fix the kitchen. And the bank yanked that, a secured loan. The bank yanked that. And there they were, 2 weeks into the construction of a new kitchen, and it wasn't going to be happening. That's what happened right before the last big crisis. And now I'm looking. I put into Google, I say, PNC Bank closes accounts. No notice, no reason. Boom! Dozens and dozens of people from many, many, many different banks having the exact same experience, and always with the note, always, you know, official advisors giving advice on how to deal with this. Very rarely can a bank reopen a closed account. Oh, boy. banking experiences. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Later in the hour, the most bizarre radio interview you've never ever heard about kind of an interesting product. And coming up in just seconds, all of the mysteries about methane gas, believe it or not, will be answered. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 7 good minutes.
Sterling on Sunday with Dr. Robert Kester. And the impressive thing about Dr. Kester is that he uses words that you and I have never heard before. Like, he's a grown-up. You and I usually are used to talking about Ashley Benson and her bikinis, but this is important and impressive. But first, Dr. Kester, because I studied your bio before this, it didn't say where you got your education. Where did you get your education?
I got my PhD from Rice University here in Houston, Texas. I actually started my own company, Rebellion Photonics, out of Rice, focused on greenhouse gas emission, you know, detection. And then Honeywell acquired my business in 2019. And now I'm, you know, excited to be part of this bigger story.
Now, your focus at Honeywell is on the management of methane gas. Tell me exactly what the problem is with methane gas. Please share with me, what is the problem with methane?
Methane, it's a naturally occurring gas from, you know, the decombustion process of organic material. It comes out of in oil and gas, it comes out of the ground, but it's comes from a lot of other sources, even landfills and waste sites. And we utilize it every day. I mean, it's natural gas heats my home. It's part of my cooking. And then natural gas is also key feedstock into a lot of plants and industrial sites and turns into other useful products, you know, plastics and oils and cosmetics and whatnot that we use every single day. So it's important. But the problem is when it's released into our atmosphere, the molecule itself of methane can absorb as the heat, and it absorbs heat 25 times more than CO2. So one methane molecule is worth the equivalent of 25 CO2 molecules. The good news about it is that it doesn't live up in the atmosphere for as long. So this is a huge opportunity for us to address methane leaks. We can find and fix them and reduce the amount of methane in our atmosphere. And we have a real opportunity to reduce global warming within our lifetimes, definitely for our kids and grandkids. But we have to you know, start tackling it today.
You don't look like a Honeywell guy. Do you have any social problems with these Honeywell people?
Oh, no. We're all cool. We're nerdy cool. And I think that's where we like to position ourselves, is everything we sell, there's some nice hardcore science behind that. But you're right. Most people recognize us from our home thermostats. But what people don't realize is our customers are a lot of large industrial customers, and they trust us not with just their home, you know, AC systems, but they trust us to run their entire facilities.
Tell me what it is you have developed to help manage methane natural gas.
So if you can believe it or not, like in this industry, oil and gas industry, for them to find their methane leaks, they literally have people walking around these facilities doing AVOs, audible visual factories. So they're like looking or trying to smell leaks, or more recently, they'll have little sniffers or cameras that can help them see the leaks, but it's still very manual, and they might go to a site once a year, twice a year. I mean, it's very infrequent. So if you have a leak occurring at the beginning of the year, it could leak for months before you capture it. So what we've done is actually developed a really exciting couple of products. One of them, from the detection side of things, we call it the Versatella Signal Scout. For your listeners, it looks like a Coke bottle size device with a magnetic base on it that can sniff gas, and it's wireless. and it has its own battery built into it. So you, instead of walking around sites looking for leaks, you deploy these sensors at your site. You connect them to the cloud like your phone, and now we'll send you automatic alerts into operation saying there's a leak. It's this big. It's at this site. You need to go out and fix it.
What's the device called?
It's called the Honeywell Versatilis Signal Scout. We have a couple of different models for this technology. The one that we've actually found the most exciting is offering it up as a complete service. So most oil and gas customers will outsource their leak detection. We will offer this up and we'll do everything. We'll actually place the sensors at the site and we'll call the customers and say, hey, you have a leak at this site, and do all the monitoring and everything.
When it finds a leak, what should the customer do? How do you seal a methane leak?
It's actually very simple. The way that you fix these leaks, it's finding them is the hardest part. Oftentimes it's just tightening a joint, or in a lot of cases, there'll be like some rocks that got in a seal that shouldn't be there. So the operator will open it up, brush off the seal, and close it again.
If most of the leaks that are there now get sealed in our country or around the world, what is the benefit to the atmosphere? What do you think the positive impact would be?
Oh, we're gonna see global warming decrease. We're gonna see things stay below the critical 2 degrees Celsius threshold that all the major academics have agreed upon, that you know, it's critical that we see global warming stay below this pre-industrial level.
Where do I go to find out more? How would I sign up for this if I'm running a company? What do I do next?
Yeah, so it's real simple. I mean, go to honeywell.com. And if you're interested in this technology, our software is called the Forge Sustainability Plus.
Say it again.
Forge Sustainability Plus, or you can just call it Emissions Management Solution. If you type Emissions Management Solution, you can also find it. We have a whole like tab you can click on as well around sustainability, which, I mean, that's another thing that's really exciting for our customers is not only leak detection and management, but we also have a whole host of other technologies that will actually help our customers as they decarbonize.
Dr. Robert Kester, an actual grown-up who has invented things and been bought out by giant companies and therefore has a very large house in Houston, Texas, which is a good thing. Dr. Kester, thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your work. Thank you.
I asked Dr. Kester, they make the water meters, Honeywell makes the water meters, the new ones, and I said, can they listen? Do they hear what's going on in the house? And he said, the batteries are such that they only download information for about 10 seconds a day. There isn't enough bandwidth, not enough battery, to send out secret messages about what you and I are doing at home. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. It's the Midnight Misfit time, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Coming up in just seconds, the most unusual interview you have ever heard, and welcome, my Midnight Misfits, Rosemary Furlong, Mike Garay, Irene Robertson. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Dr. Dave with My Weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Four arrested after a mass shooting at a strip club in the Bay Area. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
A man in Florida was bitten by a shark on land. That's right, a land shark. And I can probably guess your age by whether you're expecting a pop culture reference from the classic 70s sketch on Saturday Night Live about a land shark, or the crappy movie that was made about a year or so ago about a land shark. You're going to get neither. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That and more coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool shooting inside a Walmart in Florida. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
It's San Francisco's most violent strip club. It's called the Condor. Yeah, the Condor. And it is located, if you want to go visit it, at the corner of Grant and Columbus Avenues. This happened a couple of months ago. There was a fracas that happened outside the club, and a shooting happened. Lots of people, dead person, that's not good. And three other people were shot, and they picked up the people. 21-year-old Jeremiah Thomas, 20-year-old Marilyn Sahagan Lopez of Oakland, 22-year-old Nicosa Jackson, San Francisco, and 22-year-old Malachi Lafitte of Oaktown, all arrested. Apparently, yes, roaming into a strip club, people carry a lot of cash on them. And because of that, it opens up for a robbery, and that's what happened. They were on their way into the Condor Club, getting ready for a lap dance, some private time in the champagne room with some gal named Trixie. And thus, a robbery happened. Fracas about the robbery, shooting, there you go. Now, the strip club manager, the manager of the Condor Club, says the club, quote unquote, was not connected even though it happened in their apartment. A couple of things always keep in mind. Stop, look, listen before you walk into a strip club. If you see random people hanging out, probably not a good place, especially late in the evening. Drive around the club a couple of times before pulling into the parking lot. I know that watching the ladies gyrate is a motivation to get in that club quickly, but they're going to be gyrating and gyrating, and you'll be able to enjoy it. Drive around a couple of times. Make sure there's no people that would be undesirable looking to rob you hanging out. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, the headline says quite simply, the shocking moment. A 63-year-old man is brutally attacked inside a Florida movie theater after asking a couple to move a pre-booked VIP seat. It is 100% exactly what you think. If a 63-year-old Florida man shows up at the theater, and these days you can reserve certain seats if you buy them in advance on the app or something like that. And so the guy shows up, someone's in his seat, and I guess he wasn't, I don't know, maybe he wasn't diplomatic enough about it. I'm not blaming anybody here, but it escalates into a fist fight, and you know, a 63-year-old man versus a guy who looks like he is in his 20s, it's not even close. He falls over, and then there's, I don't know, it's only about 15 seconds of mayhem, but the 63-year-old Florida man ended up having to go to the hospital for this, and police did not find the guy that beat him up because he and his date immediately left. And so, I mean, was it worth it? You fought over a seat, and now neither one of you got it? I mean, of course it doesn't make sense. This is Florida Stories, but the video's brutal. Don't go watch it. Just take my word for it. It's exactly what you think it is. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What a beer.
For our next Florida story, we are going to go to Sarasota. And in this one, I don't know, we might just have to skip this one. Let me read you the headline, and then we can all decide together if you want to hear the rest of this story. The headline says, quite simply, Sarasota CNA accused of molesting assisted living residents at multiple facilities, police looking for more victims. You want to do that one, or you want to skip it? You want to skip it? Okay, we'll skip that one. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What a beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Coming up, the strangest interview you've ever heard about the coolest product that I've seen in a long time, but the interview is strange. All right, it's time for the Midnight Misfits secret code. Now, in order to decode the secret code, you need a Midnight Misfit membership card. Where do you get that? It's online. It's free. You can download it right now. Walter Sterling Show. Click Midnight Misfit. Here are the secret letters and numbers. Ready? The number 2, U9ZK, 77UNO. I'll only repeat it once. You ready? Sorry. I don't have a cough button. The way to turn off the mic is just a pain in the butt. Here we go. 2U9ZK. 77UNO. Midnight Misfits. You and I are introverts. And it turns out people who are introverted are more inclined to depression. We also have a very interesting brain. Like, the best thing that I can hear is if somebody says, well, there's going to be a change of plans. A change of plans. Yes, you mean when I'm not going to have to go to that family reunion? That's right. Change of plans. It's a great thrill for me. There's a phenomena that most people have, normal people have, which is that they get lonely. I swear to you, I have never been lonely in my life. My mistress is solitude. Rebecca Canner, do you hear that? My mistress is solitude. I don't like to be alone. I lust to be alone. And that's how introverts are. Extroverts derive energy from being with other people. Introverts get depleted by being with other people. This is confused as antisocial behavior. We're not antisocial. I don't mind being with people. I just don't get happier and happier every second that I'm with other people. I need that time alone to be recharged. And now it's time for Sterling Snaps. Thank you, Neil Paul, for tonight's Sterling Snap that he just sent, which is Diet Cherry 7-Up. There is no finer drink than Diet Cherry 7-Up, and there's nothing harder to find since the pandemic resulted in shortages. Now, I'll go into Walmart, and a third of the shelves are empty. The freezers are empty. That's at my Walmart. Then I'll go to another town which has a good Walmart, and every shelf is stocked. Your feet don't stick to the floor. There are empty cash registers. There are cashiers that have no one in line. There are three types of Walmarts. There's the ghetto Walmart. There's the gangster Walmart. There's the ghetto Walmart. There's the unusual random Walmart. The random Walmart is one that was put into a facility not built for Walmart. And they don't have quite the room they need in every department. Something's always a little off. And then there is the utopia Walmart, which is huge. The shelves are stocked. The manager is visible. Every cash register is manned. Yes, they actually do exist. But what I want from you right now is pick up that phone, take a picture of whatever you're looking at, and email it to me. Email it to WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. And on Tuesday, anonymously, I will put up your picture on my Instagram account, Walter Sterling Instagram. There are three social medias we have to stay in touch. Twitter, Walter M. Sterling. Facebook, Walter Sterling. And Instagram, Walter Sterling. This is a very special digital bonding. Coming up in just seconds, an amazing new earphone. This is some fascinating type of earphone. And how I got the CEO to talk about it, I'll never know. Coming up in seconds, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Kunk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way, like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
My first question for you, Mr. CEO, is this. Exactly why has NTT decided to expand into a consumer marketplace and make stuff for me?
We proudly introduce our latest achievement, the open-ear earphones that integrate the PSD technologies, allowing people to hear the world differently. Our aim is to provide diverse services that leverage our unique devices and deliver excitement and emotion to our customers.
Hiroshi Sake is the CEO of NTT Sonority, which is a subsidiary of NTT. They have made an earbud that works for me. It doesn't fall out. Now, please share with us exactly how is this product different from other earbuds, from headphones? How is this different?
The key selling point of our MB Ezos One.
The product name is MB as in boy 001. That's MB 001. That's what he just said.
Last thing, it significantly reduced sound leakage compared to the existing open-ear earphones. This notable accomplishment is made possible through NTT's unique acoustic technology, the PSZ Personalized Sound Zone.
The PSZ, Personalized Sound Zone.
It had been meticulously designed, and this MBE001 offers a well-balanced listening, where both ambient sounds and speaker output are clear. Additionally, the MBE001's open-ear design allows for extended usage without causing ear strain, making it beneficial in reducing the risk of developing external otitis, especially during the hot summer season.
You and I are talking to Hiroshi Sekei. He's the CEO of NTT Sonority, a subsidiary of NTT, and they have invented the magic earbud, the one you want, noise canceling, and nobody else can hear what you're listening to. Something that actually will work for me. Can you explain, Mr. CEO, how the personalized sound zone technology, they've created new technology, PSZ technology, how does that work? But please explain it to me in words that I, an English major from Syracuse, can understand. How does this earphone work?
Counterphase sound wave effectively tracks and cancels out any leaked sound waves at a specific distance from the speaker. Remarkably, this feature is achieved solely through acoustic processing.
Acoustic processing. It works with your ear to make it a personalized listening experience, acoustic processing. Can you tell me exactly how these new earbuds, these new earphones will be used?
So basically, our earphones are ideal for remote work, offering significant advantages to the users. You can enjoy extended usage without ear strain, but also stay focused on their work and still hear family members speak to him. Which means that you hear more, but miss less.
It filters out what I don't need to hear, but it makes sure that I do need to hear family, cars in the distance. It's a unique filtering system. That's pretty cool.
This open-ear design also provides added safety during activities such as walking and running by maintaining awareness of approaching vehicles.
How about at work? How is this different than just earbuds at work? What's the advantage in a business setting?
In a business setting, earphones benefit express workers by reducing discomfort and the risk of hearing loss compared to traditional in-ear earphones. And additionally, the open-ear design provides better airflow, enhancing overall listening comfort and well-being.
The great thing about this PSZ, Personal Sound Zone, is that it's personal. Nobody can hear what I'm listening to. However, it has noise-canceling capability, so it sorts out what I should hear from out there and what I shouldn't hear. How else do you think this Personal Sound Zone tech will be used?
In today's market, headphones and earphones emphasize delivering superior sound quality and immersive experience through active noise-canceling technology.
All right, you and I are speaking today with Hiroshi Sekei. He's the CEO of NTT Sonority, which is a subsidiary of NTT, which is a giant, giant electronic firm. The technicians I work with say that the hot trend in earpieces, earbuds, is open ear. Instead of covering the whole ear with a big foam thing or just a little stupid thing hanging in your ear, it's an open ear where the entire ear is encompassed by the device, but it's still an open experience.
Based on our observation of Noom sales in the Japanese market, reveal a significant demand from users who prefer an open-ear listening experience, indicating a growing trend. To meet this demand, Noom focuses on designing hearable devices that provide a well-balanced listening experience, allowing both ambient sound and speaker sound to be clearly audible while minimizing sound leakage, such as enhancing the experience of kabuki, a traditional Japanese form of theater with bilingual audio guidance, and also providing route guidance for visually impaired while maintaining awareness of ambient sounds. Additionally, integrating PSU speakers into headsets attached to vehicle and airplane seats creates a personalized acoustic space, enhancing comfort and privacy during travel.
You and I are at the front seat of a brand new cutting-edge technology that finally lets us use an earbud, an earphone, in a way that brings in three-dimensional sound without interruptions, without noise. Hiroshi Sakai is the CEO of NTT Sonority, which is a subsidiary of NTT. Everybody knows that. It's always challenging to put new technology into something that we already know about. We know about earbuds. We know about earphones. Now you've put in personal sound zone technology into something we know. Was this a real challenge? Was this difficult to make this happen?
Yes, we have many challenges in this area. Integrating the PSV technology into a compact device here was significant challenges for us. We had conducted numerous trial and error experiments to maximize the silencing effect of PSD. And through this experiment, our goal was to determine the optimal driver size and the ideal position for creating a hole in the driver to emit sound waves with the opposite phase sound waves.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a remarkable new product. You got to try this. It's from NTT Sonority. It's fantastic. And let me share with you the fact that all you have to do is go to get information about personalizedsoundzone.com. Personalizedsoundzone.com. One more, personalizedsoundzone.com. And you will find these remarkable earphones, these remarkable earbuds. I don't know what you call them, but you call them. These integrate with your sound, with your ears, in a unique way. It brings a third dimension to the listening, and you have to get it. You have to look it up online and see it, and it's surprisingly reasonably priced. All right, here you go. It is at personalizedsoundzone.com. Personalizedsoundzone.com. Sterling on Sunday.